Accession number 27787, Mr. Ronald Mullins, Reel 3. Now, we're talking about your first voyage on the Algarab, so you've gone up round Scotland. How was your day sorted out? Now, the Navy have watches.
Yeah.
How was your day divided?
Into watches.
Tell me how the system worked.
Well, you do four on and four off. Or four on and eight off. But it's mostly four on and four off.
They didn't have the dog watches?
No. You have to be a bit higher up. That was done by the older members of the crew who would be steering ship and doing things like that.
By dogs, I mean those half watches, you know, where you...
Yeah.
Right. So you just had four on, four off as boys or young junior
things. Yeah.
Now, so what would you do? What would you do? What were your duties?
We didn't have duties as such, but you do whatever was necessary for that day.
So what might it be? Give us some examples of deckhands.
Wash down the ship.
How would you do that?
With a hose. Two of you with the hose and two of you scrubbing. Just don't forget, unlike the Royal Navy, most of the decks were metal.
That would make it easier, I presume.
Yes, to a certain extent. And of course, they had the bilge along the side that would collect all the rubbish, and in it would be a hole about that size.
About 6 inches.
Yeah. Quite a biggish hole.
8 inches.
And everything would just slurp through it. And when when a big wave or a tidal wave hits you and comes up right over the ship, they allowed it to run away quickly.
So what other duties might you have? So that's washing ship or cleaning the decks. What else?
Your day would be divided up once you got qualified.
No, before you qualified. Which this is your first trip we're talking about.
Yes, but you get the chance to go on the deck, on the bridge, and stand beside a helmsman and watch what he does and pay attention, and you learn how to steer the ship, what you had to do and what you didn't have to do. That was quite interesting. Surprising how quickly those watches went.
So what were the skills you were learning as a, you know, what are the things you have to learn to steer a ship?
Well, the waves, the sea throws you about a bit, and you've got to try and keep it steady.
So how do you do that?
Just by altering the wheel, alter the rudder.
Countering it?
Yeah.
So what else would you do, you know, as a junior deckhand? Cleaning ship.
Cleaning up and tidying up. Making sure all the ropes were stowed away properly. That there was no loose ropes or anything like that on the deck. That people could fall over, trip over. And wash out and tidy out. And of course, when you're in port, you go over the side and paint the outside of the ship.
I'll come back to that. So... You're going around Scotland. What happens next? Did you run into bad weather from the sound of what you said earlier?
We run into a tidal wave.
Tell me the whole story of it.
Well, we come out of I suppose it was Newcastle. We come out of Newcastle, worked our way up towards the north, and they said we're going around the north of Scotland. We've got everything lashed down and tied down that could be, and then as we proceeded round to the north of Scotland, to go round the north of Scotland to join a convoy, we run into rough sea, and we caught up, I suppose, married up with about 20 ships. A lot of them were American, the Liberty boats. And you still do your watch the same. And I came my turn to go and watch middle day. Oh dear. Middle day, I come up the hatch out through the gangway onto the deck. And as I hit the deck, So a wave came over, washed me back down.
How big was it?
I've no idea, because I came out of a doorway and the water just filled the doorway, come over and threw me back down below.
So you had no chance to see what was happening?
No. I sort of shook myself off a bit. I knew I had to be up there. Went back up, worked my way along the deck, and we had a big, massive, well, looked massive to us at the time, 4-inch gun on our forecastle. And the next big wave that came, I was walking along the side of the ship, holding on very, very, very firmly. When this damn great wave came over the top, just picked the 4-inch gun up as if it was a toy and threw it down the whole length of the ship. I've never been so frightened in my life and never worried about it since. But what a sight to see. And then the two side vents, which are about that round.
About 2 feet, 2.5 feet. They can't see you, remember?
Yes, I suppose they would be about 2 feet. Yeah, a good 2 feet. Come up, it's like they're called funnels. Come up like a funnel, and the air goes down and stops the cargo fermenting, if or getting hot or.
What happened to them?
They were just picked up and thrown with the gun.
And what happened to you? Or did you be behind the...
Well, I was fortunate. I was walking up the outside of the ship along a sort of gangway, which then opens out into the forecastle of the front. And I'd got to that point when I saw the whole lot being thrown down. I was in a position to move myself out the way. But the damage had done.
So what happened next?
Well, of course, the whole crew had to turn out, get to it, tie it down and make sure it was safe, make sure all the funnels, if they couldn't be put back, could be lashed down somewhere solid.
Now, I forgot to ask, what cargo were you carrying? I should have asked that earlier.
I've got no idea. You really didn't come in contact with it. And...
Okay, I understand. So what happened next then? You've got the stuff, but you've tidied up the ship a bit. You're off the north of Scotland still.
Yeah, working our way down to... towards Gibraltar.
So it wasn't cancelled? I mean, despite all the damage, you just carried on.
You had no choice.
Now, what do you remember of the trip to, the voyage? Were you travelling in convoy to it?
Yes. There was about 12 of us.
And what do you remember of the convoy? And what about the convoy routine?
Well, you had to keep up. You weren't allowed to lag behind. And you had to steer a straight course. As I often found to my... used to get told off quite a bit.
What? So what would happen? Where would you go wrong?
Well, if you're not paying attention, if you let your mind run riot of all sorts of things you can think of when you just stood there. You don't need to move the wheel. The wind and the waves, they'll move the ship for you.
So if you didn't counteract that, you'd go off course?
Yes.
Would you ever miss the zig? Were you travelling in zigzags?
We did a couple of times, but most times we were in a straight convoy.
And were you aware of convoy discipline? You know, the importance of keeping station, the importance of keeping up.
Yes and no. Yes, you realised that was a sensible thing to do. And no, you couldn't always understand it because it seemed ridiculous that they sometimes turned into trouble. when they probably had no idea that it was there.
So do you remember anything about that trip?
Yes, I remember one very, very sad, unfortunate incident which really upset me and a couple of other blokes.
What happened?
As we're going along, you suddenly see a blot on the water, and you wonder what the hell it is. Nobody says anything or does anything, but you still keep going, and all of a sudden you come across a lifeboat with four blokes in it, waving their hands and screaming and shouting, and you just sail straight past them. That took a lot of understanding. Could not for the life of me see why we couldn't have thrown the rope or something. Of course, in later years, you learn a bit of common sense, realise it wasn't practical, but it was a hard thing to understand. You're leaving four blokes in an open boat.
Have they been in there long? Could you tell? I mean, you know, you look at them.
Oh, they've been in there quite a while.
Would anybody else pick them up? You know, behind
yes.
the convoy, the
yeah.
escort or something?
Yeah. That's what we found out afterwards, that there's a couple of destroyers or corvettes at the back of the convoy who are there for that purpose, to pick up whatever needs to be picked up. But, you know, your initial shock at seeing it, especially if you're working on the foredeck, and you suddenly look up and see it. Of course, when you're that close, you can see quite clearly, see the anguish on their faces that they're not being picked up.
Now, were there any German U-boat or air attacks on that convoy?
No, not to my knowledge.
And one thing I forgot, what about food on board ship? How was it organised? You know, how was it, what messing system were you in? How was the food done? I presume, I don't know which system they use. They call it canteen mess in the Navy, in general messing or cafeteria. Mm.
Well, there was a couple of mess boys.
Were they Chinese or...?
No, they were... one of them was English, and one of them was Dutch. They used to go and get the food from the galley, bring it down to the mess hall.
Now what? So you didn't eat in your mess, you had a mess hall?
Well, not a hall. A mess room, let's put it that way. A general purpose, I mean, you could, when you weren't eating there, you could sit in there and write letters or do things like that.
And what was the food like? Give us an idea. What sort of food?
Excellent.
What would you get? Breakfast, dinner, tea? Or what kind of food?
I came from a very poor family. Eggs and bacon and things like that were sort of rare treat, unheard of. I'd never tasted real butter until I went to sea, and just couldn't believe that people could live so poor.
What was the meat?
Good food. Excellent food.
Stews and meat and the rest.
Yeah.
So you were happy with that? Enough of it? Because you were growing that?
More than enough. More than enough.
Now, anything else about that trip to Gibraltar? Or is the next thing when you get there?
We went through to... Well, I said Gibraltar because that was the first port we came across. We went round there and into the Mediterranean.
Where were you heading for?
We were heading for Port Said. And when we got there, we unloaded.
Anything happening? Because the Mediterranean wasn't quite clear then, was it?
No, no. But nothing happened to us. We got right the way through without any problem.
And what happened when you got to Portsmouth? What was your first impression? Because that'd be your first foreign landing, would it?
Yeah.
Did you land at Gibraltar or?
No.
So
no.
Portside, your first trip abroad, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What were your first impressions of Portside then? What did you think of it?
Well, you've got to realise that I've been reading all these magazines and seeing the photographs and things like that, and it looked very much like it was in the magazine. They're all the wogs, as they called them. All the chaps trying to sell you everything and anything, including their wives and daughters, if you.
And what about the smells and just how different everything looked? Because some people were caught by, you know, just a different atmosphere.
Yes, I don't think it's. Yes, there was an aroma, I suppose, around.
Did you find it strange?
Oh, yeah. Yes, very much so. Very much so.
And what did you do ashore?
Nothing, we just walked about and looked. And
you didn't drink, so you wouldn't go to the bars?
No, I wouldn't go to the bar. I hadn't started drinking in those days.
Was that where you unloaded the cargo at Portside?
No, we went there. Yes, we did unload.
Now, who would do the unloading? Would that be you, or would that
no.
be the
no.
the port?
The port.
The
dockers. Yeah, the dockers.
And what did you think of the dockers? And, you know, I mean, would you help them, or what was the relationship?
No, you didn't interfere, and they didn't interfere with us.
How did they do it? I mean, was it by cranes or derricks?
Oh, yes, they got all the equipment. And they worked damned hard.
But you'd just be out of the way.
Well, no, we just carry on doing what had to be done. The bosun would call us all to and tell us what we've got to do, and you'd go and do what you had to do, and the other people would go and do what they had to do, and things would just progress automatically. And after a while, you get into a routine and you just do the things without being told.
Now, so what happened next then?
Then they moved us a little way out of Portside to the outskirts where there were docks. And then a whole army of workers came aboard and they converted it from a cargo ship into a ship for carrying horses and mules.
Now, how did they do that? What do you mean? What did they have to do to convert it?
They started at the bottom and they made stalls in all the holds. And they put a ramp down into that deck, round, and they went round the deck, and another ramp down to the next deck.
Like a multi-storey car park.
Yeah.
Now. I mean, that's the only way.
That's right. You've got it right. Yeah. That's exactly what it was like. A multi-storey car park. Once they'd done that, finished that, we moved from there to.
All right. Don't worry.
Haifa or Beirut. I think it was Beirut. Haifa with mostly loaded food. Beirut was where the work was done.
That's up in the Lebanon, is it?
That's, yes, Lebanon. And
now, you weren't carrying horses up there?
No, we hadn't got the horses there.
You sailed empty?
We sailed empty. And the reason we went there was to pick up people and to pick up horses.
Now, what do you remember of the horses? Do you remember the horses coming on board?
Oh, yeah.
How was it done? I mean, what state were the horses in when they got on board?
Very nervous.
Were they slung aboard, or did they?
Yeah.
And the dockers would do that, or would you?
No, the Army Veterinary Corps took care of all that. They, some of them. Yeah, you're wrong. Wrong. Come on, wake yourself up. The, yes. They put them down on the deck.
From the sling?
Yes. Take the sling off them, and then they drive them down these ramps, down to the deck below, and to the deck below that.
And that was all done by the veterinary people, the Army Veterinary Corps.
The bazookas, they were. Fantastic. See them manipulate and talk to the horses, and the horses became like children to them. To me, as a young boy, walking about the deck at night and watching them talking to the horses and singing to them and making a fuss of them was incredible.
And they were called
bazootas. That was
were they Indian?
No, they were South African.
And they were the horse handlers?
Yes, they handled the horses. They done it because they was what they done for a living. Even when they were out of the army, that's what they done for a living.
And they just had a fantastic relationship. They could get the horses to do what they wanted.
Yeah, yeah. Incredible. I saw four of them. They had a horse go a bit berserk. And they quieted him down a bit. Got him in the corner. And then four of them just walked up to him. Got one on each leg and picked him up. Put the shoulder underneath the horse, held the leg, and just walked with it.
And about how many would you have on board of these South Africans?
Oh, I suppose about 20, 30.
And had they got separate accommodation that had been put in, or did they stay?
I never even thought about it, to be perfectly honest.
So they weren't in your mess then?
No, oh no, they messed with the horses. A lot of them slept.
Now, where were you going with these horses?
We took them into Beirut and loaded up.
That's where you put them on?
Yeah.
Where were you going?
Then from there we went up to Italy. And
where did you get unload?
We unloaded them at a place called Bari.
And the same process, they do it?
Yeah. They do all the unloading, loading.
Now, had you qualified by this? How long did it take before you qualified as a deckhand, as opposed to a junior? Or would that not be happening yet?
That would happen automatically.
When? How long? After how long?
6 months. Once you'd proved yourself, done things the way they should be done, and kept your nose clean, kept out of trouble.
And so you'd then be an ordinary seaman?
Yeah.
That can't, would it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So where'd you go from Italy?
Well, we'd done that route up and down for a little while. Because the first time I went to sea, I went over for 2 years.
So you'd be going backwards and forwards from Beirut to
Haifa. We used to go into Haifa and pick up food for us and things like that. Back into
Beirut and then Bari.
And then Bari.
Just backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
Were you ever attacked at all?
We weren't attacked as such. But we learnt afterwards that Bari, where we tied up, was a dangerous place to tie up.
Why was that?
Because the Germans had got the measure of it, the distance and everything.
Artillery fire or bombing?
Bombing.
What was the bombing raids like?
A bit naughty.
Tell us about them, you know, because what would happen to you?
Well, an alarm would, a siren would go to say that it was an air raid. We'd just either go back to your mess and sit down and read and wait for it to go over, or if there was something urgent to be done, we'd get on and do it.
Were you nervous?
Excited would be a better word. I don't mean that to say I was brave, I was just excited, because I'd never seen anything like that, or realised.
And what would happen in a typical raid on? Where would they drop the bombs? Was it on the docks, or the harbour, or the ship?
There weren't many. There weren't many bombs dropped, but none's ever fell on the ship or on the docks. They just came down, exploded.
So they were pretty ineffective.
Yeah.
Did you have any anti-aircraft defences on the ship?
Yes.
And who would man them?
We had the army. The army operated there.
A couple of soldiers on the ship.
Yeah.
So they'd travel all the time with you?
Yes. To them, it was a, what shall I say, without diminishing, it was a good option because they got good accommodation. They were fed by our galley. So they had good meals, and yeah, they seemed to enjoy it.
And would they fire during the raids, or was they too far off?
Oh no, if it was close enough, they'd fire.
Were they Bofors?
Yeah, Bofors and the four Oricans.